Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
If you will take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15, just remind you again that this afternoon Marty's service will be at 3 o'clock, and there will be a meal afterwards, and I appreciate those ladies who worked so hard to make that possible, and that'll be this afternoon. Don't forget tonight. Now, Nancy Kendra is your niece, is that right? So, who's great nieces and nephews, all right. So please come tonight, you'll be blessed at 5 o'clock. I know it's a busy afternoon, busy night, and pray the weather won't get bad, but we look forward to being here tonight. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of those great chapters of the Bible. Sometimes it's referred to as the resurrection chapter. We have 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, and Paul deals with love there. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that of which is most important. And that's the resurrection of Christ. So for the next several weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, looking at a series entitled Because He Lives. And but today we're going to be in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. If you'll follow along in your scripture, I'll read this out loud. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 and brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as one by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was given to me, with which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Press it on our hearts. Lord, as we approach this season of the year, this time of the year we call Easter or Resurrection Day, Father, we realize that before there was a resurrection, there had to be a crucifixion. Before there was life brought out of the tomb, there had to be death. And Jesus, we're so thankful that Calvary didn't end the story, that the cross was not the end. But Lord, we're thankful that Friday was here, but Sunday was coming. And Lord, we're thankful that Jesus Christ lives forevermore. Father, there may be someone here today that's not a Christian, not a believer, and I pray that today, God, your Spirit would have freedom to do in this service just exactly what you want to accomplish. And God, that people would respond to your word. Lord, not so much me, but Lord, that they'd respond to your word. Lord, use this time for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. A phrase that we sometime hear someone say, especially if they're wanting to somehow emphasize their honesty, they might make a statement and you might question that, and then they would say, "I'm telling you, it's the gospel truth." And sometimes those who say that don't know the gospel and wouldn't know the truth if they saw it. But it's a phrase that we use that has been passed down over time, because the truth is, the gospel and truth have always been associated together. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so when someone says something that is the gospel truth, they're saying, "What I'm telling you is truth." So you have to ask the question, why do people say that when they want something to be believed? And that's the gospel truth. And it's because for all time, the gospel has been associated with the truth. They're synonymous. And that's why people say it. Even unwittingly, people who don't even know what they mean try to emphasize the veracity of their statements by calling them the gospel truth. So that phrase, I want you to hold on to that, the gospel truth. But there's a second phrase I want you to hold on to, and that's this phrase, first things first. And that literally means that which is of most, utmost importance. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said the phrase first things first serves as a reminder to prioritize, establish order, or focus on immediate necessary actions. By the way, when I say I looked it up in the dictionary, it wasn't a book dictionary, it was Google dictionary. It says this phrase serves as a reminder to prioritize, establish order, or focus on immediate necessary actions. It's often used to start a conversation or to pause and reevaluate priorities. And so it's a constant challenge to the church. I mean, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, it was a troubled church. There was a lot of issues that Paul had to deal with. He had to deal with sex outside of marriage. He had to deal with incest. He had to deal with fighting and arguing at the Lord's Supper. And if there was a troubled church, it was the church at Corinth. And Paul did deal with those things. But he said, but most of all, that which is of utmost importance is the resurrection. Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Seminary, writes, he said, the church is unique in many ways compared to any other institution or entity in the world. He said, at the core of our unique identity is this truth. The mission of the church is actually determined by the message of the church. The mission of the church is actually determined by the message of the church. And the mission of the church is to put above everything else the proclamation of the message of the church, which is simply called the gospel. And he said, now the gospel is not the only message of the Bible or the church, but it is the first and most important message of both. He said this is what the most prolific writer of the New Testament, and perhaps the most famous Christian who ever lived, said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said it is accurate to say that the primary reason Jesus came was so we would have a gospel to proclaim. We're living in a day when more and more churches and more pastors and more preachers are putting less and less emphasis on the gospel. And he said it will be the death of any church. At every opportunity, both in church and out of church, the gospel should be heard and clearly explained, and people should have a chance to respond to that gospel. It is keeping first things first. So when Paul wrote this letter, this first letter to the Corinthian believers, he did deal with a lot of issues. To name a few, there was divisions among the people. It was incest. There were lawsuits, believers taking other believers to court. Marriage was one of those issues he dealt with. Spiritual gifts. And the list goes on and on and on. However, in our text, he reminds them and he reminds us that the most important subject is always the gospel. And so we have to ask the question. If the gospel is so important, if it is the message of the church today, then how does this passage, how does it apply to us today? Well, let me give you three or four things. Number one, we must recognize the priority of the gospel message. You and I as a church must recognize the priority of the gospel message. Look again at verses 1 through 3. Paul said, moreover, because in spite of everything he's already said, he said, moreover, brethren, and by the way, they were believers. He said, I declare to you the gospel. And the word gospel literally means good news. He said, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received. And then this is the gospel message, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Listen to these verses in the Christian Standard Bible. Paul says, "Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast or hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Paul was saying that I want to make this message abundantly clear. There is no more important message than the gospel. There is no more important message that the world needs to hear today than the gospel. It is the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. That's the message of the church today. And the message of the church has not changed in 2,000 years. You've heard it said that Billy Graham was once preaching at a place, and the preachers got together afterward and said, "Mr. Graham, you've set the church back 100 years. He said, "Well, I failed. I meant to set it back 2,000 years. It's still the same message that we proclaim today. Paul said, "I want to make it abundantly clear that there's no more important subject than the gospel." Now, there are a lot of issues that the church has to face today, no doubt. A lot of things that we have to deal with. Immigration is a big deal today, and a lot of churches are taking their stand on the issue of immigration, and they're making that the forefront of what they talk about. Racism is definitely an issue that the church has to face today. Poverty. I mean, almost weekly we have people coming by that they need help with groceries because they don't have enough money to buy groceries. And those of you who serve through the food pantry could tell that every week people come by the food pantry needing help because they don't have enough money to buy groceries. So, and we know that poverty is a real issue, and Jesus understood that. Jesus took care of the hungry. They were hungry, fed them. So we know that poverty is an issue, and dealing with these issues may be implications of the gospel, but they're not the gospel. They're implications of the gospel, but they're not the gospel. So Paul is saying that it is the gospel that is of utmost importance, because it's the only way anyone can be saved. Danny Aiken again said, "Paul says the most important message of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the one message, the foremost message, that should always make the cut in our preaching and teaching." And these other things are important. In just a few weeks, as a church, we're going to be involved once again in Love Pontotoc. And we're going to do things that because we know Christ, because Christ loves people, we're going to go out into our community. We're going to do things here. We're going to do those practical things in order that we can share the gospel. But those things that we do, as important as they are not the gospel. We do them because we believe the gospel. And we believe the most important message that people can receive is the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. That's the gospel message. That's the only message by which people can be saved. So we must respond to the gospel message. Secondly, we must represent the proposition of the gospel message. Again, verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen." And this is the proof of the resurrection. By the way, you know that there's more proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is that George Washington was the first president of the United States. And he goes on to say that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due season, out of due time. So we represent, as believers, we represent the gospel message. And so Paul wants them, and he wants us to clearly, without any doubt, define what the gospel message is. There are three components to the gospel. Number one, Christ died for our sins. Every person sitting in this room today, Jesus died for your sins. The word for literally means in behalf of. Jesus died in behalf of our sins. He took our sin upon himself. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 1, 3 through 5. He said, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." He gave himself for our sins. 1 John 4:10 said, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then in 1 Peter, Peter said it this way, beginning in verse 23, 1 Peter 2. "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, did not threaten, but committed